That should be Craig Terrell.
James, Cynthia, thank you for seeing me again. We've all been through a lot. As you know, most of us have a great distance to drive to be here, and we're also not paid. So it's been a long, involved process. I've been here since the beginning. I witnessed 1853 in its inception. Unfortunately, during that period, some major changes were made in 1853, allowing the groundwater contamination in the mining area that wasn't allowed previously. And this was unvetted. We never got a chance to comment on it. I sat with my lips closed and I trembled at the thought that we could possibly pass something like this, and it did. And it passed at the last minute. And then it was kind of a slip in on December 23rd when nobody else is around, everybody's on vacation, and the motion passed. And I can just imagine who passed it. The DEP's refusal to address the overwhelming public consensus that we need to reject this and repeal 1853, start over with a statute to provide a legal framework for the protection of the health and economy of our area. In doing the opposite, ignoring 500 Mainers and interest parties and those that have petitioned, I've received over 1,000 people that are in favor of a moratorium for metallic mining and protect the waters of Maine. The basis statement is based on a misconception that the waters were already polluted in Maine, that the area already had arsenic contained in it that was of no consequence if it was contaminated. And this is not the case. We drink the water, we have been for 40 years, and my wife's been tested for arsenic and she doesn't have any in her. We eat the fish, we rely on that sustenance. Fish River watershed supports a wealth of people in the area, guides, fishermen. Families come out when there's no other work to be had. They can still come out and get a meal. They can fish and they can hunt in the area. Carr Pond is home to heritage brook trout and salmon that are born and bred right in the streams in Carr Pond. Dr. Robert Seal, who actually did the initial water samples for Bald Mountain studies, says these waters are not polluted, quote unquote. They are 100% natural part of the ecosystem. And as a fly fisherman, I can attest there are more black flies than anybody would ever want. This is home to a trophy trout and salmon and togue industry. Now, we're producing fish out there, hand over fish. I would specifically like to address that in the basis statement. We're talking about drinking water. The standards are all relying on drinking water standards. This isn't what a fish would live in. If you put a fish in your tap water, you'll watch how fast he dies. This isn't the natural existing background that was in the 1991 rules. So these are Class A, Class AA waters, and they shouldn't be denigrated. I'm concerned these don't address the exploration and advanced exploration. I've witnessed firsthand what exploration can do. They drill a hole, they take a sample, they back flush the hole, and in the process, there's a lot of stuff that goes in the ground. And like fire, water doesn't stay where you put it. It has a tendency to move. So we witnessed the siltation of Carr Pond as these waters came back flushing down Moose Brook. We're 2 miles away. Allowing groundwater contamination in a mining area is a recipe for disaster. Now, I worked in golf course instances for 15 years, and I was a golf course superintendent, and I studied architect under Donald Ross. I know groundwater moves. So if you have contamination in a site, you're going to have contamination moving out throughout the groundwater. And it's a fact that these chemicals, these minerals, especially metallic minerals, have a tendency to covalent bond and move throughout the water table. So it's not going to stay where you put it. There's a substantial flow. At some 1,000-foot elevation, Bald Mountain has a drop of 400 feet to Carr Pond. That's a lot of drop. There's a lot of water moving down through there. There's never been a flow study that's determined what's going through there. So before you can even consider where the water is going to end up, you have to do a lot more research as far as the hydrology in that area goes. There's two major faults going through that mountain. Where does the water go in those faults? I'm pretty sure I'm drinking it in my spring. That stream used to run logs 15 miles to Portage Lake. There was a mill in Portage Lake. So there's enough flow to move lumber down through the mud pond, through the fish lake, and down the Fish River all the way to Portage. Now, I urge you to reject these rules, which confirm the statutory provision that allows for groundwater discharge, as it was never the public will. We were never allowed to comment on it. Your duty to the legislation is to reject this misguided rules on a twice rejected LD 750, and that only became law because of a clerical error. Speak out against it. It was basically gutted of all the content of any wealth, any worth, and basically used as a shell game to move this forward for the profit of the corporation. If you knew there was some way to not poison your downstream neighbors, would you? That's the question before you. Do the correct thing. Reject the notion that groundwaters can be controlled in a mining area. The contamination of AA and A waters is acceptable. And reject the basis statement. Thank you for your time.
Questions? Would you like my comments?